Today, of all days, we could not miss the doxology. When Isaiah is telling us to rejoice, we need to rejoice. Create new heavens and a new earth. Isaiah's vision of this new world is really hard for me to wrap my brain around. Is Isaiah talking about God doing away with this world? His creation didn't turn out as perfectly as I hoped, so let's do away with it and start all over again? Or is Isaiah saying that God is going to continually be creating that which was called good is going to become better? Is it about transforming into something new? You know, I'm not what you would call the craftiest person around. But I often get a wild hair, and I think when I see something that's really neat, I think, you know, I can make that. Especially with Pinterest. I can do that. I don't need to buy that. I can make it. I guess part of the problem is that I really do believe that I can do it. And a lot of times the project, I go and I buy all the things and the project sits in a bag and it never gets attempted. Does anyone else do that? I have bags everywhere. Those I do attempt usually end up taking a twist that aren't really what I intended. And I usually make several trips back and forth to various stores. And then they usually end up in the closet because I won't put them out. Creating something from scratch is difficult, isn't it? I'm always so impressed by people who do it flawlessly. But I can't do it. And so I can certainly see where it would be easy for God to sit back and say, well, I really wish I'd thought to do this or that. Wouldn't it be great if I had done this? So is Isaiah implying that God will just try it again? And maybe this time the couple in the garden won't eat the apple. If that were the case, if we really believed at some point that God was going to say, nice try, think I'll give it another try? If that's what we relied on, what would then encourage us or push us to do good today? I think if I thought at any moment God was going to say, let's try again, I wouldn't have much incentive to try to take care of this world and the people in it. Would you? I think if the first piece of art an artist paints were perfect, there might not be a reason to paint again. Things always need improving because things constantly change. Think about that little thing you carry with you everywhere called a cell phone. 20 years ago, most of us needed to be at home or at work in order to talk on the phone. Now you pretty much need to be underground with a 4-foot cement wall around you in a bunker in order to get away from a phone. And every year, they make that cell phone just a little bit better, so that you need to put the one you've got aside and go buy another. Isn't that the truth? That's why people wait in line for days to get the latest phone. God isn't finished with this world. God isn't finished with me. We respond to God's love for us by being good stewards of His creation. Not just so that one day we might claim Isaiah's vision for ourselves. We don't live a Christ-like life in hopes of making it to a heavenly place. At least I hope we don't. We serve so that we might experience relationship with God, so that we might actively engage in creation with God. You know, I never really liked yard work. My dad was great at growing things. He had a green thumb, and anything he tried to grow, he pretty much managed to do it. But I never had that gift. I hated going outside in the heat and mowing the yard and edging and cleaning out the gardens. But when I bought my first house, it had to be done. And I would do it, and I would hate it. But some Saturdays, my dad would come over, and the two of us would work in my yard all day long. And we'd pull up plants, and we would trim here and there. And at the end of the day, it felt so good. Not because I loved doing yard work, but because I loved being with my father. It was the relationship. There's hardship in this world, absolutely, without a doubt. Much we've created for ourselves. Carter and Ashley was here this weekend, and they live in Edmond, and she was telling us about the earthquakes they're having all the time in Edmond and what it feels like. And the scientists are telling them that these earthquakes are not from the earth. Not typical earthquakes that happen. These earthquakes are from the water that is being reintroduced during the fracking process. Now that may mean something to you. Doesn't mean a lot to me other than I know that they're going through this tremor on a regular basis. And that is from harm we're doing to this earth. There's hardship in the world. Caused from us, caused from war, caused from famine, caused from disease. There's no denying that suffering continues to exist on our world. But we're given a foretaste of a new heaven and a new earth through the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because we are created by God, we're given gifts and abilities, and we are invited to participate in the continued creation that is for all of us. A world where there is less pain and less suffering and less war and less hunger and less anger. The question is, how do we get in on what God is already doing? Are we really looking at the gifts that God has given us? Are we seeking ways that we can participate in continuing creation? Do we recognize the role that God would have us in playing creation here on heaven and earth? When I talked about the endless line of projects I've attempted through the years, one of the biggest problems is that feeling of being overwhelmed. Where do I start? What do I do first? Churchill, in addition to being a great statesman, was a painter. And he didn't begin painting until his 40s. But he was overwhelmed by the canvas. And a friend walked up and said, "What are you hesitating for?" And he said, "I just don't know where to start." And she picked up the paintbrush and just painted a line across the canvas. And from there, Churchill began to paint. That big canvas was no longer a big white empty palette, but it had begun being a painting. We can't begin to imagine how to create a world without pain and suffering, without disease and hunger and anger. But we can give one drink of water to someone who is thirsty. We can show one person grace. We can give one can of food or help one person in need. It's about steps. Like the Christmas song, let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. The end of suffering, it's not going to happen today. But maybe I can ease one person's suffering. Hunger, not going to end today, but maybe I can feed one person. God creates on such an unimaginable scale. It's hard for us to believe that we can participate, but that's where our faith comes into play. What is too big for God? During our study time this week in the office, Kelly was leading our devotion, and she brought a page from a book she had been reading. I don't even know the book. But this particular chapter was about believing that God was big enough to handle things. If we really believed that God could and would lead and guide us, why do we allow ourselves to spend so much time worrying? In all things, rejoice. I thought about that all week. Why do I let myself stay awake at night worrying about things that I can't fix right then? Rejoice. Rejoice. If you read my Weavings article this week, I told about a video we watched at Woman Fest. The video was about the director of the Boston Philharmonic Youth Orchestra. And he was talking about life and how to let things go. And one of the suggestions he made, and he told his players every time they played, was when you played something wrong, when you made a mistake, to just stop and say, "How fascinating." You know, when you just do something wrong, or when you break something, or the other day I was driving and I turned the wrong way into a do not enter, and I just stopped and said, "How fascinating." You know, it feels really good and it really lightens your mood. It really does help to put things into perspective. In the big scheme of things, as long as no one was coming out of the do not enter and I could get out of it, what was the big deal? How fascinating. God is big enough to handle it. Another thing this passage has really made me think about this week is that the former shall not be remembered. Sometimes my memory is really hard on me. Not because I forget things, but because I can't forget things. I have a tendency to sit and rehash things to no end. Why did I do that? Why did I say that? How do I fix this? And I let my memory cause me to worry myself sick. Mary Eleanor Johns tells the story of a newly ordained person who was troubled by some things in her church, things that she didn't feel like she was handling well, forgetting events and not remembering things her parishioners were telling her. And she just was very frustrated and she was beating herself up about it. And an experienced pastor suggested to her that some forgetfulness is a gift from God. She called it holy amnesia. Isaiah offered holy amnesia. Some memories are best left behind so that we can begin anew, so that we can keep creating anew. Perhaps intentional, prayerful forgetting can be a gift from which healing and forgiveness can emerge. It's not easy. I'm working on how to do it, and if you figured it out, I would appreciate you letting me know. But there are just things we have to say. Thank you, God, for holy amnesia, and can I please have it now? Isaiah gave us a beautiful vision of God continually changing our world. The only command from this passage is be glad and rejoice forever in what God is creating. Be glad and rejoice forever. We fear. We fear what we can't control. We want to predict. We want to control. We want to explain. We want to be able to put things in order in the future and in the past. Living in the moment is a continual spiritual struggle, trusting that the future is in God's hands. If we turn to Isaiah's words, we can be reminded that we're not God. God is bringing about more grace and goodness than we can imagine. But we can choose to join God, to join in the work that God is doing, to participate in working for a just world, a loving world, a peaceful world. Then we can rejoice in what's being created. Rejoice in the Lord, always. And again I say, rejoice. Amen and amen.